Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 246, part 1, Wait. We had to wait too long for this podcast. Computer problems couldn't be avoided. It was horrible. Thank you, Mom, for the CD. I loved it. All of my favorite tunes. Going to hear a couple right now. Wow.
Oh, happy day.
Is entitled Wait. And I think if there is one word that causes a reaction in many, this is it. Wait. You ever tell your children, wait? You tell someone that wants to get married real young, you say, wait. Causes a reaction, doesn't it? You want to have that car right now? The salesman said, well, we have to prep it, and we have to get it ready. You'll have to wait a while. You go into the hospital, and they have waiting rooms where rooms of people wait. You go shopping, you have to wait. When you go out to eat, you have to wait. You have to have a wait person wait on you. Well, I mean, it's something we all do, like it or not. We're going to have to wait, so close all the doors and windows. We're going to sit here for a half hour before we start the message, and we're all just going to wait. How many would wait for a whole half hour for a message? You would not wait. Well, I got things to do. I got to go someplace else and wait. But actually, that's the whole of your life, don't you know it, is waiting. The only time it turns out is when you wait upon the Lord. Don't wait on some kind of a situation to change. No. All good things come to those who what? Wait. We don't want to wait. What I was laughing at when we started here, we said we had a computer drummer. And I thought pretty soon they'll put up a cardboard Pastor Paul and they'll have a voice behind it. Shave and a haircut. Oh God, how we need some joy in the body of Christ. So today let's enter into Jeremiah 14, verses 3, 4. Then we'll drop down to 22, and it goes like this. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. Wasn't that the pits? And they returned with their vessels empty. And they were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. A lot of times people go out looking for water and they find none. They end up coming back and covering their heads. Because the ground is cracked, for there is no rain in the earth, the plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. Now let's go down to verse 22. Are there any among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Any of you great pompous ones, can you cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all things. Isn't that beautiful? And I think we must learn, like the prophet, to say, O Lord our God, we will wait upon thee. Now, contrary to popular preaching, life is not a claiming game so much as it is a waiting game. Aren't you waiting for something to happen today? Everybody's waiting for something to happen today. Maybe you're waiting until this message is over. Oh, I can't wait! Yes, you can. Oh, yes, you can. But I hope today this message will bear fruit and many will be drawn to him and shall say, therefore, we will wait upon thee. You're going to have to, whether you like it or not. Might as well make that firm resolve within yourself right now. It's a waiting game. Aren't our lives spent in waiting? Waiting for a tricycle? Waiting for a bicycle? Waiting for a car? Waiting for a mate? Waiting for kids, waiting for money, waiting on kids, waiting for recognition. When is someone going to recognize me? Well, usually when you're a winner. Run the race that you may win. Why else get in the race? Say amen. Why be in ministering to the needs of people in food and clothing if you don't mean business? If you don't want to win? If you haven't made a firm resolve? How many are hearing this today? Are you waiting on something? Now, in God alone can man live happily and nowhere else. I know I tried it for 39 and a half years. From seed to plant to pick, to harvest, to barn, to market, to store, to kitchen, to plate, to stomach, and so on. We wait to get up and we wait to go to bed. What time is it? You're waiting to go to bed. We'll go to bed right after the 10 o'clock news. Wake up in the morning, it's too early. I can't get up. I have to wait a while. So you wait. You want to get cheated out of a little bit of sleep, so you lay there with your eyes open. Oh, I couldn't sleep. I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning. I could not. I tried. You ever try to sleep? Joni James years ago had a song, "But Sleep Won't Come the Whole Night Through." Waiting. Waiting. There's people in prison right now that are waiting. There are nations right now that are waiting. There are hungry people out there right now that are waiting. There are full people out there that are waiting. But anyway, in the end, if they are to be recovered from their fallen state, It is to the Lord, their God, they must turn. Each and every one. Each and every problem. But anyway, notice in the last verse we hear the word therefore, which I believe shows the conclusion was to come by an argument. The Lord forced the issue. And he forced the issue like this, by their thirst. Now you get good and thirsty, and you can't find any water anywhere. Or good and spiritually thirsty, and you can't find a drink anywhere of spiritual water. You're going to end up waiting on the Lord. So he forced it, I said, with a thirst. And, you know, a failure to find the water anywhere. And by that, the Lord had driven them to say, therefore, we will wait upon thee. I mean, we've tried everything else. Okay, we'll wait on you then. Sometimes we get impatient, don't we, when we have to wait a little bit. That's something we don't want to do. You have that problem when you go out and put them swimming pools in? People can't wait. They're out there standing with the sidewalk superintendent standing out there looking at this big muddy hole. When do you think you might get done? You know, after you get the pool in, they hardly ever use it, a lot of them. Some do, some don't. Isn't that true? A lot of times we wait on something, and when we get it, we don't know what to do with it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Why'd I buy this dumb car as a $300 payment on the thing? Or a $500 payment on the thing? I wanted this house. Now what have I got? A great big white elephant. Better off where I was. Not only that, in order to make it look halfway decent, I got to fill it full of furniture. Can't bring that old rag-tail furniture I had that other place. Look fine there, won't look good over here. Well, we'll just have to wait. We'll have to wait till we can afford some furniture to put in this great house. You understand what I'm trying to get at? Better off waiting on the Lord. Well, when we get out of this circumstance, things will get better. They can't get any worse. Don't you ever say that. Don't you ever say they can't get worse. They can get plenty worse. Sometimes the only time they get better is when you drop dead. Oh, isn't that a truth? Or is that too much truth? Oh, tone it down. I mean, we don't want to hear truth, but can't you put it more poetically? Can't you kind of sneak it in so when we get out, we'll figure it out when we're driving down the road and get mad and run into a tree or something? You know. No, it's very simple. Therefore, we wait upon thee. But I hope, anyway, you listening on the radio, won't have to come to a conversion by such suffering. Won't have to be saved because you went through great turmoils, dry times, your whole life is dry, and you're on your deathbed, and you say, oh, I'm going to wait on God now, and you only got 30 seconds to go. See, a lot of times people won't change unless there's a dry time. Or God can't change a direction or cause a perfection or cause something to happen within without a dry time. Sometimes we have to go away and recluse, be all by ourselves, and suffer that. So that God can show us something. So let's consider how the Israelites came to this conclusion. Therefore, we will wait upon thee. I have to minister a little bit here from David. I'd love to get back into the Psalms. And just for briefly now, let me get into Psalm 52 and 9, I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, past tense. And I will wait on thy name. And he's saying here, I suppose because of his many, many enemies. I mean, you boast in your riches. I will boast in my God. See, because the tomb will silence all boasting. Then he goes on. For it is good before the saints. And so he's saying before or among the saints, David intended to wait. Feeling not only that it was good for him, but it was good for them also to wait. To look or learn to look upon the Lord alone. And anyway, it gave his character some development when he had to wait. Now, tracers are gaining development. They're developing. They're into a new thing. They had to give it a new name. Put it through a horn until it was born into a new note. Well, it came through a wait. Only God knows what can happen when we learn how to wait. There isn't a whole lot of competition, don't you know? If you're a waiter. I'm not talking about sitting down, falling asleep, laying down, frothing at the mouth, complaining. I'm talking about going ahead, but at the same time waiting for a direction. No. There's a lot of character building and learning how to wait, learning how to be patient. He's saying, let the mighty ones boast all that they want to. We will wait upon the Lord. And you know, if their present haste brings them a present victory, present honor, I should say, by and by. We have honor that excelleth if we will wait. Our riches are in heavenly places. Those that wait upon the Lord will never want any good thing. So first then, let's consider man as a very dependent creature. I believe he is the most dependent creature that God has ever made in some ways, because our range of wants is very wide. See, all creation exists by the will of the Lord, and if God would cease to send forth his conserving power, the world, the sun, the moon, the stars would cease. They'd fall from the heavens. But see, man is very dependent upon God. It says that when the dew no longer fell, it says when the rains ceased, the people suffered drought. And the drought brought with it failure of a harvest. Oh, isn't that coming? Sort of a dry winter, isn't it? I wonder what spring is going to be like. I wonder what summer is going to be like. I wonder what the fall is going to be like. Well, all we can do is wait on the Lord on that one. But the drought brought with it not only a failure of a harvest, but famine and disease and death. People, it said, died like flies. We're in the middle of an epidemic right now. Called AIDS. And the people right now are seeking aid for AIDS. But where is the help going to come from? The Lord. But anyway, people died like flies, fainting, famished, doomed. And I thought as I read this, I thought, oh, how feeble we really are. All that strutting and showing of our peacock feathers, all that flexing of our muscles, I think he went that way. Or it could have been that way. All that mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all, was stopped by a need for a glass of water. Can you picture that? Someone out on a desert situation, and someone showing off, well, maybe this is what you need. And they show themselves how great they are, and they speak to them in great words, and they tell them all these things, and they say, all I want is a drink of water, man! Can't you help me? No, I'm going to give you a, I'm going to show you how to claim it, and you're sitting over here with a bucket full of water. And I started to think about that. How long can we go without water anyway? Even animals can bear thirst better than we can. Even animals carry their coats with them. We have to depend on a plant or a sheep to cover our naked bodies. Even animals have been given physical force to win food for their bodies, but we must produce food from the soil. We must get the seed from the Lord. And look how we come into the world. Isn't that pitiful when you start looking? You look a little baby, really, if you want to look at some. A horse even gets up right away. And they're up on their legs, you know. And they instinctively go over to their mother. What do? We lay there all hairless and sightless and... Helpless, strengthless, can't even breathe by herself. You have to have a spank. Come on, start breathing, you dummy. Naked, totally dependent upon others. Totally. How many babies would live if you just took them out there and propped them up someplace? And yet some boast, I am a self-made man. Well, I was thinking about that the other day. In some cases, I almost believe it. I mean, who else could make such a mess? Did you ever hear somebody say that? I heard on TV the other day, they had a billionaire on there. He says that. And so on, so on. And this is a self-made man. I'd really like to check him out to see how he, how did you make this? How did you grow this hair? And how did you? How did you manufacture those eyes? And And that big pot belly? How'd you? Why didn't you pick a, you know? And I think, and then when we come into manhood, we only enter another phase of dependence. Because now, you know, when you get to be about 18 years old, you start freaking out. Oh God, I got to go out there. The world is waiting. Got to get a job. Got to make it. Will I be able to produce? Will I be able to bring up a family? Now, that's not one person. That's everybody. We become dependent. When we grow 18, 20, 30, 40, we become dependent. We get old, then we're more dependent. Would you mind pushing my wheelchair over there, or will you get my crutches out of the closet? Will you get my medicine out of the medicine cabinet? Aren't we dependent creatures? And that's why those two messages on friends was great. Because you'll get by with a little help from your friends. Although you don't wait on them. Sometimes you could die waiting on your friends. Is that not true? No, we only enter another phase of dependence. A dependence on our surroundings for our food. Now we're looking at the farmer going down. Well, don't look too long and don't argue about it. You shouldn't have bought such big tractors because you're going to have some food coming off that land out there. And anyway, for the rest of our lives, we are dependent upon the sun and the rain. Blot out the sun. Stop the rain. Stop the flow of water. A bigger share of your body. What do they say? How much of your body is fluid? 50, 60%? I don't know. More than that, probably. How much is it? Got any 71 3/4%, I heard. I don't know if that's correct or not. It's a lot of water. A whole bunch. Is that intelligent enough? Buckets full. Has your bucket got a hole in it? You may go to college and you may learn soil conservation. You may see movies where they plow just right to retain the moisture, irrigation, fertilization, transportation. You can buy tractors, and you can buy plows, combines, bib overalls, a railroad watch that you can stuff in your pocket, and you put your thumbs up inside your straps, look like you know something. You can say, yep, look at your old watch, looks like rain. But let me tell you something, brother, if God shuts up heavens and withholdeth the rain, what can the husbandman do, the Bible says? Call together Congress, march on Washington, march on St. Paul, pass a bill, bust a load of scientists of Baal in, maybe. Get serious and have a Mount Carmel situation. But I say to that, all these acts are in vain. In vain are their theories. When the skies are brass, the Bible says, and the earth is iron. When God is angry, and I think it makes God angry when you allow situations, I think, on farming communities. I think it's time to say, we made some mistakes. Let's go buy back our little tractor. Let's let some of these inventions that are laying stalemated at the patent office up there on how to run a machine on air. Let's get on with the work at hand. I think it makes God angry when you have the knowledge to do right and don't do it. The Bible says it's sin. But when God is angry, there's no rain and there's no crops. He shuts the heavens up. And life would vanish without food. Did you ever try to not eat for a whole day? 2 days. How about 3 days? How about 21, 22 days straight, nothing to eat? Well, you won't go that long without water. Have you ever tried it? No, all life will vanish without food. The harvest of 1 year. Listen to this now. The harvest of 1 year, if it didn't rain for that 1 year, because of no rain, do you know how long our food supply would last? 6 weeks. How dependent we are on each year's crops. Guy asked me the other day, he says, what are we ever going to do with all the excess cheese we have? We got caves full of them. And we got all this excess of potatoes. I said, well, tell you what we could do. We could go over to China, and they got 1 million people over there, and we could introduce the cheeseburger to them. And French fries. 2 weeks, we wouldn't have a problem anymore. Well, that's kind of dumb to do, and we got hungry people right here at home. Exactly, I'm glad that you saw that. But even if everybody here was full, I think it would be a very good idea to take all that cheese to your enemy. Whatever. And just give them until they can't eat, look at another block of cheese. Of course, I think along with all this government cheese, they should send a box of prunes. We've got a lot of bound up people from eating that cheese. You just talk to some of the elderly down here. Got health problems because they get too much. Too much of a good thing. But God still gives us bread as we need it. Like manna in the wilderness. Now, I heard a faith preacher the other day. I just happened to turn on the radio. And I thought, this is a classic example of a man leaning upon his own understanding. Leaning not upon your own understanding. And he said, well, now I want to tell you folks, and they all talk like this from the shelf. Now I want to tell you out there, I want to tell you lap-jawed Christians out there, I mean, you hang-dog Christians out there. And he went on and on and on with it. And I thought, oh, here comes another faith thing. And he says, now you know the Lord's Prayer is obsolete. And I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this. Lord, teach us how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven. Now, this is already obsolete, he's saying. Well, what has he got? Heretofore, you have not asked anything in my name. Meaning, up until now. But now, you can ask anything, and I'll give it to you. Ask for 10 years ahead, and I'll give it to you. And I thought, how stupid. How about praying the Lord's Prayer in Jesus' name, if you have to? Don't we ask everything in the name of Jesus? I mean, we're getting so right now that we're looking for little ways to pervert the Word of God. Let's see with a magnifying glass. And let's look at this real close. Now, what's to say in the original Greek? And let's put this together with that and this together with that. And it means this. All I could say right then was, well, you're going to wait on God anyway. You pray all you want to. It's still in the Lord's timetable. You can't say by your watch, at 3 p.m., I want you to answer this prayer because that's where my faith is. Well, if that was the case, you could pray that way. Well, you could just say, I want the sun to come up at 10 o'clock today. I'd like to sleep a little longer. Was that right? Isn't that about as stupid as what you're hearing? I think it's stupid. Well, you have to direct God. I heard a guy. You have to be direct in your prayers and you direct God to what you want. People are never satisfied. Don't we know that? Is the flesh ever satisfied? Now listen, our world will go through famine, pestilence, drought. Think about it. The world will go mad. Men, animals, insects, plants, fish, bacteria, all forms of life will be asking for one single solitary thing. Water. You remember that old Gene Autry song, Cool, Clear Water? Was that Gene Autry or was it? No Gene Autry fans in here, I can see that. God, I'm old. Was that his song? Was that Gene Autry or was Roy Rogers? I'm sorry. Sorry, Gene. C- cool, clear water. You know, when you want a drink of water, nothing else will satisfy you. Dr. Pepper won't do it. I don't care how you dance. Pepsi-Cola won't do it. I don't care how many machines go up into one of them flying saucers. It's water. You getting thirsty, are you? Can't have a drink till you're done. You have to wait. First thing you're going to do when you leave here is say, you know what, I would like a... You go to the cafe and say, give me a great big glass of ice water. See, right now we're creating a thirsting in here. Why not mention the gospel of Jesus Christ? That would create a kind of a reaction, wouldn't it? Why are not people hungering and thirsting after righteousness? Because we don't mention it at all. We don't mention God. There is no righteousness outside of God. Well, you're going to have to wait on Him if you're going to see any righteousness. Whatever your profession, president, king, queen, football pro, 7'4" basketball pro, model for the Jordache jeans, alderman, for now they call them council members, government, police, thief, prosperity teacher. Prosperity by positive confession person. Doesn't matter. We all depend upon the fruit of the field. So now listen. You can talk all you want about the laws of nature because, see, it's the God of nature. And the God of nature is not bound and limited by methods of procedure. See, we have a certain procedure we'd like things to work out in. He can do as He pleases. Well, that's because you haven't heretofore have not prayed my name. Now, you just got to learn how to do that, folks out there. I heard this preacher tell me. Heretofore, set aside all that manna one day at a time thing. You don't want to go out there and scrape mammon off of that desert floor out there. Then have it spoiled by noontime? No. Well, maybe the manna gets rotten, but so is the preaching rotten. Makes rotten kids to get everything, doesn't it? Spoiled, rotten? You give a kid everything they want, they get spoiled what? Rotten. Fellow brought in a lot of toys the other day. And a lot of times you'll see people that bring in toys, bags of toys. And say, well, where did you get all these toys? Oh, these are my kids. I'm going to buy them a brand new batch. Would you call that sometimes a spoiled rotten, isn't it? We're buying your teenager a brand new car. You're not going to suffer like I did, son. Remember the first car I had to drop my legs through the wooden floorboards and go with my feet. Just about. We had three of us guys, we bought it together. And then we'd pile in the car and set the spark on the thing. Well, of course, you wouldn't know none of that, but it was an old car even when I was young. It's always real old. But we'd have the girls push the car. They'd push that thing all over town. It'd start and go about quarter of a block, and then, oops, something went wrong. Get back out, push again. Developed strong legs on them girls, let me tell you. What kind of a man are you? Truthful. They got tired. They quit. can't depend on anybody nowadays, I thought. No, we all depend upon the fruit of the field. And so God's nature is not in any way, shape, or form limited by methods of procedure. He can fill our barns or he can empty our barns by simply holding or loosing rein. And I hear someone on the radio right now saying, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. They use that one scripture. And they try to blackmail God with one scripture taken out of context. God will have his way. Jesus said, our God said, not my will be done, but yours. No. Even the breath that we have right now, and we only get a noseful at a time, if he were to withhold that, we'd all drop dead. Without his preserving, we would all turn to dust, the Bible says, and we would perish. And also in our spiritual things, our dependence is most plainly seen. You ever seen someone trying to manufacture a spiritual meeting? Manufacture it? The right kind of music? Maybe it's an organ that plays bats in the belfry music. Boom, boom. Did you ever hear that on the radio? You wonder who's playing that organ. And it goes on and on and on like that. Trying to create some kind of a spiritual thing and then light a lot of candles maybe. I don't care how you smoke up the walls. It isn't going to make you more spiritual. Human spirit, I mean the candle of a Lord, God uses people. And so without his preserving, we all would turn to dust and perish. Anyway, apart from God, we are like the field, dry and fruitless. Nothing worse than a fruitless tree. Without the rain, and without, like we said Friday night, without the rain of heaven coming down upon your thirsting soul, you're not going to be fruitful. And so in spiritual things, we are totally dependent. See, without the Holy Spirit, we are dead and we are fruitless. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord, not only of the Lord, not of anyone else. You can't manufacture a salvation. Only by his grace, only by his Spirit. And you know, since I made the tape on eternal salvation, it's riled people up. Oh, they get mad when they find out that they're saved eternal. I could never figure that one out. And then on the other hand, there's a lot of people calling in and saying, praise the Lord, I thought I was lost. Well, yeah, you once were lost, but now you're found. Salvation is of the Lord only by his grace, only by his Spirit, just like the rains. Only his Spirit rains down upon our thirsting souls, and we are made spiritually fruitful. Isn't there a song like that? Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsting soul. Let the dew of heaven fall on me. Blessed Holy Spirit, won't you come and take control? Let the dew of heaven fall on me. What a priceless blessing that is. And we're looking all over for blessings, and they're all around us. Like I said Friday night, sometimes we have dumb spiritual eyes. You ever see somebody with dumb eyes? They just walk around. They got, I call them orphan Annie eyes, button eyes. And they don't see the blessings all around them. Orphan Annie, you ever seen orphan Annie? Even the dog has got button eyes. Well, that's why they're orphans. Got dumb eyes. Are you against orphan Annie? No, I'm not. I'm just using that, the eyes. But what priceless blessings are pardon and grace. Isn't that something to praise God for every waking hour of every day? How then can sin be removed except the Lord pass by our iniquities? Can we justify ourselves? No. Justification and acceptance, aren't these of God? Aren't we accepted in the Beloved? Aren't we justified by faith that God gave us? God gave every man a measure of faith. You didn't develop faith. Did you have any faith when you were born, when a little baby laying there, hairless and helpless? No, our cloud covering, our pilgrim crossing over, spiritually speaking from this desert, our cloud covering is the blood of Jesus Christ. It covers us. God can't see your iniquities. Jesus bore them on the cross. Isn't that a wonderful message? And so justification and acceptance. These are the gifts of the covenant of grace. God gives them, and we can never obtain them. But what are you doing? I'm obtaining mercy. No, God even gives you mercy so you can be merciful. It's what you do with that talent that God gives you. I will be merciful to those that show mercy, but who gave you mercy? God gave you mercy so that you would use it and you would give it away. Blessed is the peacemaker who gave him peace. Can you just determine all of a sudden, I'm going to be a peacemaker? Come on, you guys, stop fighting. Come on, break it up. And then all of a sudden, you get hit? Now, how peaceful are you going to be after you got socked in the chops?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast, part one. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Thanks for waiting. It's good to be back.